Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 24 of the Hexperts Battletech podcast. This episode is the spookisode. Whoa, so scary. Your hosts this evening are myself, Lewis. We got Tom over there.
Ooh, I want to suck your coolant.
I'm glad that's where you went with that. Got Nathan down there on his special chair. I don't know what that noise that was, but we'll go with that.
Did my mic just peak?
It peaked. Nothing happened.
I said boo very quietly.
Oh, it just went. It just made it sound like you like. It sounded like you fell
like
on
that?
It. Yeah, that's the noise that you made. And we've got Dom over there.
I turned into a bat or sometimes a dog, depending on the source materials.
Very saucy indeed. Super duper. Cool. This week, we're going to be talking about some spooky Battletech happenings. Tom has got some spooky stuff for us to talk about because I let
Before we
them...
get started, can I say the spookiest thing right now about Battletech?
What is it?
The fact that you can't in the UK. Buy anything.
Oh, it's like a... the stock is like a ghost.
It's like the game is dead.
No, it's still alive. Just one day there'll be some stock.
It's in an eternal rest, and it's going to come out like Yasferatu, the millennial vampire.
All we need to do is just in 6 months it'll arrive.
I like my blood with boba. Ooh.
Yeah. So, Tom, I've given you an hour to get some. Battletech Halloween information. What have you got for us, or what can you tease us? We're going to talk about for our main section.
Well, that's a really good point, Lewis. Have I got some Battletech information? Yes. Is it going to be coherent? 100% not.
No.
But we'll run it anyway. Have you heard of the planet of Necromo?
Yes, but for people who haven't, it all sounds spooky.
Isn't that where Conrad Kurz is from?
Who?
Who? What?
Who's that
Curse?
Guy?
Seeds?
Huh?
Seeds?
Duncan? What?
As you can tell, this is, as per usual, a highly organised episode in which I am going to blather.
Super duper. Oh. We do love a good blather. But before we start that blathering, let's talk about some hobby progress from your hosts. And I'm going to start with me today because I don't usually start with me. So I have done no Battletech hobby. I've just painted some Space Marine, Tactical Marines for the Horus Heresy in ultramarine colours. And I didn't play any games either since last recording. So I've done very badly. But I did look at a battle mech. I found one and I thought about painting it. So that kind of counts.
Wow.
Let's move across to Nathan because he was so wowed.
So, I've been reorganizing all of my hobby stuff, which translates to all of my stuff, full stop. I've been doing that. I've been getting the YouTubes done. I've now got a nice shelf for all my battle mechs to sit on and look pretty. Yeah, that's about the extent of it. I've not played any Battletech games. I've mainly just been playing Heresy and Bolt Action.
Nathan's figured out how to delete the shelves in his room from last episode being in The Sims. He's not stuck in there anymore. A baba da baba. That makes more sense if you heard the last episode. Anyway, so that's actually some pretty cool progress there, Nathan. Talking of progress, let's talk to Dom. He's the most progressive one here.
Yep. Anyway. What have I been up to? I've been painting so many battle mechs.
Yeah.
No way.
I actually made a battle mech out of bits of battle mechs that I stole from people's spare parts that they discarded in a spare parts scrapyard. And I put them all together and electrocuted them, and they turned into the Franken mech, that's a thing that I'm painting at the moment, the Franken mech. It's going to have a wife, and I don't know anything else about the Frankenstein story. Anyone else got any ideas to pitch in?
She's going to be in Creature Commandos.
Yeah, and also
she's going to be in Creature Commandos. She's a robot too, also.
And also,
monsters, friends we made along the way.
And also, he's not the Frankenmech. That's the name of the Doctor. Oh.
Well, no, actually, because his name. That's his last name. That's his last name. So, actually, his name is Adam Frankenstein. And his the Doctor is called Dr. Frankenstein, as in his last name. So, it's absolutely fine to call the monster also, actually, Frankenstein Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it would be technically his son, so it would still be Frankenstein.
I don't think making Pete a person out of dead bodies makes him your son.
Well, yeah, we're not also narrow-minded. Anyway,
sorry, go. So that's what I mean about progressive. That's what I mean, guys.
We're not also narrow-minded. Yeah, so I have been playing Marvel Crisis Protocol. Shocker. Mm-hmm. These guys have not been convinced me to play BattleTech because they're all playing other games. They're all playing Necromunda and Horus Heresy and this weird game where you're like an anime horse.
We don't talk about that one on the podcast. I've heard you've been fondling Namor's staff, Dom. Is this true?
Namor the Submariner or Namor Mackenzie has a staff that breaks often.
Breaks every day from what it sounds like.
He's snapping it.
He's snapping it.
Oh, you never want to snap your stuff, do you?
No.
You don't.
It's a rough day if you snap your stuff.
We're talking about the model Namor for Marvel Crisis Protocol, not the staff.
Super duper. Yes, super. Well,
that's demonetized now. We've said the P word.
Non-monetization that we got.
I think we're over 5 minutes. Anyone else we need to talk to about hobby?
Yeah. I think
there's one person you can ask.
Who?
Jesus Christ.
don't worry. I keep him close to my heart.
It is a spooky episode. And what could be more spooky than a man that raises from the dead?
It's true. But before we speak to Jesus Christ himself, Tom, have you had any hobby? Or done any hobby?
I've actually, because I'm always doing some hobby. I however, still... being a little bit of a traitor to BattleTech and just doing Necromunda, to be honest. I'm loving it. I'm McLoving it at the moment. And
ooh, what gang are you running?
I'm currently running Venators, and I'm running a little bit of like a, I want to say it's not like a joke, but my gang is called the Court of the Sump King.
Yeah.
And the fluff behind it is my leader is a bloke with a very shitty crown who's kind of like this self-styled King of the Sump. And everyone's just got the worst weapons possible. They're like so shit.
That's amazing.
It's very funny.
It's so thematic as well.
Yeah. That is true. Cool. So apart from being the stinky Sump King, nothing else?
I'm afraid not. It's been... My hobby mojo has been a little bit dry at the moment. Work has been really grabbing me by the testicles.
Grabbing me by the gonads. Grabbing me by the sump.
Yeah, it's been grabbing me by the sump. Yeah, and
it's been
really
grabbing
me
by the gyros.
It's been causing me to fail some PSLs when I get home.
Hey,
I always manage to fall into bed. So
with the new BattleTech playtest rules, your gyro roll, your roll would be a bit easier now as well, Tom, because we read all those rules.
I don't think that's going to help us.
I mean, to be fair, whenever I get into bed, I do also roll for facing. So
yeah, we should probably do like an episode of talking about these playtest rules at some point.
Next week.
Oh, he's going to say it's an episode about getting comfy in bed.
It's more like
if you want to listen to the experts talk about their bedtime routine,
the honk shoeperts.
If you can subscribe to our $200 a month Patreon, and you can listen to us, and we will personally tuck you in at night and give you a kiss on the forehead.
Hey, look, if you were paying me £200 a month, I'm just saying.
You heard it here first. Tom would do something to you, not allowed on the podcast. Not we can't talk about it, but it's secret and nice. It's secret and nice.
Super.
Yes. Anyway,
if you'd like to see any of the amazing hobby that we've been up to that we've not been doing, check out the Hexperts BattleTech Instagram on Hexperts_BattleTech_podcast. And we will post something on there at some point once we do some mechs. But yes, cool. Let's move across to news. News. There's no new news because nothing's happened since last week apart from there's some shops have got Gothic in, but not all of them for some reason.
No new news? No,
I'm not in the UK.
No new news. No, some of the UK shops have got Gothic in.
What?
Yeah. Where? Apparently, like, everywhere that's not our shop.
makes sense.
I think there's local stores and there's ones that are under the standard distribution methods that have been getting Gothic. So it might be in our store, but they just never put it. They probably just haven't got bothered to put it out on the shelf.
I know. If I got the Gothic Urban Mech, I'd be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tyler and the Board in Brum crew.
Yeah, we'll have to. I think the BattleTech lost its shelf space because it hadn't got any stock. So it might come.
Yeah, but it wasn't selling because it had no stock. Like it's a cyclical problem.
Yeah,
because the moment it came in,
it was sold. We bought it all, and then there was just one box for a while, and then the shelf space went away. Hopefully, soon it will get lots of stock and it can have some space back.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But yes, and hopefully there's some more cool news coming up because there's been quite a lot of cool news this month, but we've already gone through it. Events then. Events. There's not too many left, or not too many that are listed or advertised. So ones that I know about, they've been stealing off Mike from the Tales from Peripheries events page, is there is an event on the 15th of November to the 16th of November happening at the Farnborough International Exhibition and Conference Centre. That's the Warfare War Game Show. So I think that one, from if I remember correctly, is some demos and some intro games. If you're there at that show, pop down and see the guys and obviously maybe get a demo or play a game. Hopefully there's some cool stock there. Maybe not.
Well, Lewis, you really do sell it well.
I'll try it.
There's some stock, maybe there's not. Who knows? I don't know, Lewis.
Maybe you'll have a good time, maybe not.
Maybe not. I can't. I don't promise anything.
Who knows?
Maybe someone will shoot you in the car park. Who knows?
Maybe someone will get you to get on your knees, execution style, and shoot in the back of the head.
And that starts at 10 a.m. on the 6th of December. Operation Bulldog is happening at the Ponders End United Reformed Church, run by the Enfield Gamers. It is a 500 PV, it's an Alpha Strike event, per player game. I think it's run by Sam and some of the other guys from there. The events look pretty fun and narrative, and everyone seems to be having a good time from what I've heard of those events. So if you're in the area, or if you're feeling like doing a big game, obviously look into it, and obviously maybe speak to them about popping down. Lastly, I think our buddy Nate from Shake Battle Roll, I've seen him talking about looking to run an event, I think, coming within the next couple of months at the Collingworth Community Centre. So I think that one, if you keep an eye out on the Shake Battle Roll on Facebook, that might pop up. I'll let you know if we hear any more, or we might not have supposed to talk about it at all. I'm not sure.
But Lewis,
yeah,
I keep hearing that there's going to be a Hexperts event. When's that coming?
When we get the Mercenary Box in the UK on the shelves, I will look to run the event. I can't run a Mercenary event if people can't play the game.
But at first, if you like out in the UK on a Hexpert event, email Randall Bills himself demanding it. So please, please, please get us some stock.
Please don't do that.
And that is randall@bills.com. Emailing
randall@bills.catalyst.com.
Demand the mercenary.
I'm surprised that you want to talk to him until after he captured you and kept you in his basement.
I need reparations.
We're going to carry on from that. Anyway, so that's pretty much all the happenings and the news and the events going on. If you've got anything you want us to talk about or not talk about, as we mentioned last week, obviously feel free to message us.
What a story, Lewis.
Yeah. So before we move into our main segment, let's pop to a little break and we'll catch you guys on the flip side. And we're back from the break, and we're back into the main segment with Tom, who's going to cause us to shit our pants in fear with the spooky segment. Sorry.
This Halloween. This Halloween.
Yeah.
The scariest thing you can do.
Shit yourself.
Shit your pants.
Shit your pants in fear.
Expert, anyway. Sponsored by Huggies. Adult diapers. No, we come with Vulture on this oh, Halloween.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay, go on, Tom. Take it away.
Jesus. So, today we are talking about Necromo and the associated...
Oh, I've already shit my pants, Tom. I've already shit my pants.
Okay. The associated scenario pack known as Necromo Nightmare. Now, this was released in 2013 on Halloween as a free download. So you might be thinking, well, is this apocryphal then? Is this real? And the answer is, despite the fact that this is actually a Halloween spooky scenario for a time of war, it is actually fully canonical. So this is completely real. It is set in the far-off year of 3072.
Ooh. When's is that Dark Age or is that...
It's Jihad.
Still the Jihad, okay.
Yeah, still the Jihad. My goodness. What's going on? Da-da-da. So, a little bit of background on Necromo. It is the... Basically, it's a Capellan Confederation world that's had a bit of a nasty history until the Jihad era. Due to its location and its isolation, the Confederation had been using it to shield the production of their warships. But unfortunately, this made it a prime target for the Word of Blake during their invasion, and it faced orbital bombardment in 3071.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's spooky. Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, spooky, yes. Orbital bombardment. Ooh.
Yeah. So, spooky orbital bombardment.
Tom, ooh. Let me just stop you there. I'll just shit my pants again.
So, and then basically what happens is this is kind of the prelude to this scenario. So, a passing merchant jump ship basically goes into the system and goes, there's no electronic signatures of any kind. And then sends it back to the Capella Confederation, at which point they send the mercenary unit Charmed Life to Necromo. And the Charmed Life mercenary unit arrives on the 30th of October, 3071.
Oh my god. If I had a soundboard, it would be the thunder noise.
Dun dun dun. But the worst thing is that nothing is ever heard of them before again. No one knows what happens to them, but it is believed that they perished on Necromo.
Oh, death. That's scary. Isn't it scary to think about death? The mortal coil, eventually we all shuffle off. Isn't it scary to think about that? Sponsored by Huggies.
We should get sponsored by Huggies.
Basically, this is the background for the scenario. The scenario is the Capellan Confederation says to your characters in the game, we need you to do a recon mission for us, and doesn't disclose the fact that they'd previously sent another one.
Oh.
And they go, well, this kind of planet's got a little bit dark. We need you to find out what goes on. And I'm not going to spoil exactly what happens, but we'll talk about back. I am going to spoil. But I'm not. I'm not going to spoil, but I was like, actually, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I am going to spoil. Turns out, it wasn't just an orbital bombardment that they did there.
What did they do?
There was a little bit of a bioweapon that they dropped at the same time.
What?
Did anyone see that video? Sorry, Tom, to interrupt. Did anyone see that video of Donald Trump when he posted the AI tweet of him?
Yes.
Dropping his biological waste all over New York City. Did anyone see that?
So that's effectively what happened on the Nostromo, but Not Donald.
Lewis, the promo.
Same thing.
Oh, legally distinct.
Yes.
Area.
Yeah.
So, I went to a club one time and caught Necromo.
Lewis, we can't have James coming back, right? We can't have him coming for more cash.
Okay, yeah. So they bombed it.
Yeah.
They dropped a biological
weapon
on there.
Yeah. So basically
Scouting party's already lost. So what happened?
Well, you go for the second time and you basically arrive and you're like, huh, nothing's here.
It looks like some kind of biological weapon.
So the planet's just completely been absolutely bombed into the ground. So like from orbit, you can't really see much.
Okay.
But you land on the planet and you're meant to go to somewhere called Outpost Aberdeen.
Whoa, that sounds spooky. I know.
It's the scariest place in Scotland. Ooh.
Oh, it's northern.
I'm so scared.
I'm trying to.
I just dropped a biological weapon, if you know what I mean. In my trousers. That's the joke, guys. Anyway, yeah. So you go to
you start to make your way to Outpost Aberdeen. At which point, you get attacked by people, and they're coming out of basically they start coming out of everywhere. Like they're starting coming out of concealment, and they start attacking you and your battle mechs, or not, depending on what you've got. But they're not using weapons. They're clawing at you and trying to bite you, slavering as they try to gorge themselves on your flesh.
Wait. So, but if you're in a battle, if you are in a battle mech, this is the equivalent of being like love tapped, isn't it? Like, they're not going to do anything if you're getting scratched.
I mean, to be fair, that just sounds like the average Capellan world.
That's probably it.
Nothing is different from usual.
But this is just like Cyan.
This is just like normal Aberdeen.
I'm sorry to our dozens of listeners up in Aberdeen.
I don't think we have that many.
just for the fact that you're living in Aberdeen, not for the jokes against it.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, God.
I do feel sorry for you about that.
Yeah. So.
I could just imagine that you do this whole scenario pack, but you're an aerospace fighter instead of a pilot. you just got the zombies like trying to jump at you, like, please.
Zombies? No one said anything about zombies yet, Nathan. What are you talking about?
I don't know. They sound pretty zombie-like.
So these guys are just slapping themselves on your mechs, vehicles. Hopefully you're in some sort of transport.
And then you receive a distress call from your dropship saying, we're being attacked! Ah! And then basically you have to try and rush back to your dropship within one in-game hour. You're meant to not. You're meant to basically get bogged down until you fail. And by the time you get back to the dropship, they've been overrun by these people and they're all dead. So you're stuck on Necromo.
Shouldn't have left the door open.
I was about to say, it's not like FNAF where you have to use power to keep the door closed. Like they could have just locked
apparently
it.
Apparently so.
Can you explain what FNAF is to the audience, please? The audience being me.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Fazbear's.
Anyway, so you get back to your dropship. You get back to your dropship. It's been overrun.
And you're stuck. You're stuck on Necromo, so you have two options now. Either get to Outpost Aberdeen, or try and find survivors on the dead planet. Those are your options. What do you think you would do?
Can we play the game? Can we play along? Can we pick?
I mean, yeah.
Like, choose your own adventure.
Yeah,
I would pilot the dropship and get off the planet.
I would do that.
I would win, actually. Personally, I would win.
I was built different.
this is not completely related, but something that I found really funny is that when the Frankish started to convert to Christianity, they learned of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to the histories, the overwhelming response was, if I was there, I wouldn't have let it happen.
Fair enough.
like
Mark Wahlberg with 9/11.
Literally, it's like there's a thing where it's like, well, if I had a few good francs with me, I wouldn't have allowed him to be put up on the cross.
Well, that is some interesting historical information there, Tom.
Sorry, I just felt it. Okay. Thanks, Lewis.
Okay. Right. So we go to Outpost Aberdeen. What happens?
Outpost Wabberdeen.
Yeah. Outpost Wabberdeen.
Outpost Wabberdeen.
You get glassed as soon as you walk in.
Oh, fuck off, mate. Basically, you have to fight your way to Outpost Aberdeen. And then, what else?
Welcome to the Hexperts, by the way, if this is your first episode.
But I think if you're in your battle mechs, it wouldn't really be that difficult to fight your way to the outpost. It'd just be like squish, 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 squish.
Yeah, but Nathan, zombies, Nathan, bloody thousands of them.
Yeah, and imagine if you were squish, squishing all these guys. You were just like a giant guy squishing loads of guys.
Well, if you are to play this, if you're on foot, you play with the Time of War character sheets. But if you are in your battle mechs for this, zombies are platoons of foot infantry. You get, it's 1d6 minus 1, platoons of foot infantry per player with 2d6 troops already marked off.
So it's kind of like depleted hordes of zombies just shuffling their way to it. Cool.
There's no specific thing of how they move, but I think they're more 28 days later zombies.
Yeah, that would make sense keeping up with battle mechs. Otherwise, this battle mech would walk away. Yeah.
So you're saying that they've got big hogs?
Oh, yeah, no, that's 28 years later. I'm talking. Oh,
how silly are they?
The hogs get bigger over time, dog.
Yeah, I gather.
Do they attach weights to them?
Yeah, they dick train.
I gather that they've got anti-mech attacks and stuff like that, which is supposed to represent.
Oh, they've got swarm.
Yes, so they just get in and start pulling cables and bits and
getting
pieces.
Getting your Johnson is terrible.
They're
all in there.
They press the button that says do not press.
Oh, fuck.
Don't press that one. The self-destruct button on the mech. No, not that one.
Why is it next to the feet? Why?
And then after you've secured your dropship and you're like, oh, I have to go now, you get attacked by proto-mechs. Yes, that's right. That's right. There's word of like proto-mechs. You thought zombies were the worst thing in this game. No, proto-mechs.
Fucking Comstar, no!
It's the word
of like. What's a proto-mech? I'm guessing it's like a pre...
If I'm remembering correctly, smaller classifications of mech under the small.
Yes, they are. They're
between 5 and 20 ton.
Yeah.
And they're like big power armor. They're like bigger than elementals slightly.
Okay.
They're 7 meters tall and they just look down at you and they got like a lizard head and they breathe fire on you.
Cool. Yeah.
Are these, is it stipulated at this point if these are controlled by Willa Blake or these zombies now, Tom?
I believe.
Or is it a mystery at this point?
It says, thundering across the plain comes a metal-shod mini-mech covered in scuffs, gore, and bearing the logo of the Word of Blake. I believe they are. Oh, yeah, so they are. Basically, you get attacked by some proto-mechs, and they're piloted in the GM-only section. It says they're piloted by Manny Domini.
Oh, so cyborgs.
Yeah.
Could you go through what Manny Domini are for the people who don't know?
Well, to be fair, that's most people, because even I find it difficult. I think, as far as my understanding is, Manny Domini are cybernetically enhanced battle mech pilots that basically get bits of themselves chopped off so that they can fit in small cockpits.
Like the horse jockeys.
Yeah.
Like chicken jockeys.
I think also they get some. They can upgrade themselves to give themselves benefits when piloting stuff as well.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's some of that as well. But
it's like XCOM with the mech suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
But The only thing I know is the fact that you can put them in small cockpits without a pedal toe.
Because they got no arms, because they're little fellas.
I think it's they cut the legs off.
I don't know.
Damn, they cut the legs off.
Come off of the legs, yeah. But anyway, so there's you fight your way through these brilliant. The whole time, you're not reinforced. So you basically go into each mission with whatever you had from the last mission. So you're slow, like, so the zombies might not get you, but they'll grind you down a little bit.
Yeah.
Grind you up like a little guy. Turn you into a fine pink paste.
And so you get to Outpost Aberdeen.
I'm scared.
This is going to be really difficult if you were just human scale at this point. Just a bunch of proto-mechs come after you. It's like, oh my God.
This is the scariest thing ever. It's okay. Like, how do I win this? It's like, you can't.
why would they send a guy with a gun?
As you get to Outpost Aberdeen, you get hailed by someone that says they were sent before you.
Ooh. Oh.
And says, come in.
with a Transylvanian accent.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. between you and Outpost Aberdeen, though, there are battle mechs bearing the markings of the Capella Confederation, but with no known regimental insignia.
Gasp.
Ooh. They do not respond to hails, and the mechs will begin to move the moment a vehicle-sized unit of any kind closes to less than a kilometre of their position.
What?
Although they seem unwilling to stray more than half a kilometre from their base. As they move, you would notice that they do so with a profound lurching, almost as if their pilots might be drunk or otherwise impaired.
Ooh, spooky.
If you approach on foot, however, these machines will not react at all, leaving only the facility's entrance reinforced, vault-like doors, as a challenge to entry.
Ah.
Mm.
So you could leave your mechs.
So do the mechs attack you then?
Only if you shoot them.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Mm.
So yeah.
Why do you think that might be?
It's like they're inviting you in.
I don't know.
I'm trying to get a little bit of like audience participation here, and I'm just not.
I've got a dumbest gyro.
No, it's because they're drone battle mechs.
What?
Whoa! Are
you telling me the Capellan Confederation was developing drone battle mechs on this planet?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
I think I've seen drone battle mech videos from like the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're probably a bit smaller. Yeah, so if you've got in the base and you've been invited in, what happens?
Yeah, it turns out actually all the drone battle mechs and all the base is being piloted by an AI.
What? Oh no.
What?
I've done it again.
And if you refuse to assist the AI, they're gonna kill you.
And you know what I say as well? Just stop this AI art stuff.
It's like Catalyst were like ahead of the game. They knew that AI was bad the whole time.
Yeah.
AI indeed.
Do you think it uses more power if you are polite to it?
It just
beats it faster.
It threatens you with Sora videos of a gorilla. Gorilla shooting poo at you.
In my experience of Star Trek, the way to beat any kind of computer is to put it in a logic loop. So I would just simply do that.
Mm. Your goals inside Outpost Aberdeen are to secure the data core. Basically, you're there to get research.
Yeah.
Okay.
You basically have to secure the research, survive the crap that's in the base. Because the doors were open, so there's some fucking zombies knocking around.
Oh my God, why can no one close a door on this planet?
And then also, you have to base. There's like a dropship that's pretty. That's damaged but operable. So you have to repair that, and then you can get off the planet. And then basically, towards the end, these people called the Broken turn up, who are Manny Domini that were left on the planet by the word Blake because they were like, gotta go, see you guys.
Oopsie.
And they want to get off the planet as well. So they try and kill you. So the showdown's on this near this drop shuttle where Manny Domini people are like firing horrific guns at you or whatever. The long and short of it is basically you get onto a planet and then you get attacked by zombies, drones, and then Manny Domini. And it's unlikely that, basically the book says, it's unlikely that you survive. But should you do, the Maskarovka would really want to have a chat with you.
Well, not a fun weird about that, though. Like, you want to get off the planet, the Manny Domini want to get off the planet. Why don't you all just huddle up in the ship?
I hear also that the AI really wants to get off the planet very desperately.
Oh, it does as well. Yeah.
But why does the AI want to get off the planet?
To do evil.
Oh,
classic. Do you think if I got it to repeatedly make fed some brain rot animals, do you think it would eventually just shut itself off?
No.
Yeah, could you use that AI to make big Gokus that eat too much and then Vegeta comes along and pops them with a needle?
Definitely. But I think
is that the kind of AI they're talking about?
I think the AI that they're talking about specifically is designed to, I can't remember, you probably know better than me, Tom, but it's specifically designed to like, it's got a goal of like destruction or war. So like it literally just wants to kill everything. Oh, it's one of those AI.
Just like, I want to kill!
Can you get it to generate images of Tung 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 Saras?
Yes.
I think that's probably something you could get from it. Tung 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 Saras. So yeah, that's the story of Nekromo Nightmare.
It's a story so spooky.
It is pretty spooky. So we're actually now we've talked through the story, we're going to go to a quick break.
Oh boy.
We're going to do your take or law take.
Well, that's the scariest thing you've said the whole time, Tom.
And then afterwards, I'm going to talk through what the word of Blake were unleashing on the planet.
Oh, my.
Okay. Oh, ho.
All right. We'll catch you.
Oh, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Oh, dear.
Tom, I've got a quick question before we get back into things while we're on our break. You know how we're on our break right now? Have you ever thought about like the etymology of the word guy and where it came from? Because I've been thinking about it recently and I don't know where it came from. Do you have any ideas?
I was going to talk about this next week when, you know, Go Forth Day and Bonfire Night happens.
Just tell him you've got no idea. Just tell him to shut up.
I'll do it, Dave.
I have no idea.
On the break, I was telling the lads that the word guy, like when you refer to men as guys, it comes from Guy Fawkes, who was a British terrorist who tried to blow up Parliament, failed, and was hung, drawn, and quartered. For our American viewers, that's when they hang you, they slice open your stomach, and then they cut you into four pieces.
Yep, but as a counter history fact to your history fact, did you know he actually didn't live for any of it? As soon as he was getting hung, he jumped and they dropped the top door. Yeah, so he just snapped his own neck and killed himself.
Yeah, but the rest of it was for everyone else. So anyway, people during this period after he was killed, if you were seen to be dressing poorly or had bad fashion sense, you would be referred to as a guy. They'd be like, they would call you like a guy, as in Guy Fawkes, because it was a negative connotation to it. Eventually, because people are lazy, and this is just how history goes, people started referring to anyone who was male as a guy. And so that's where guy comes from.
Imagine the fact that our ancestors really did not have that shit on at all. Like, it's just cursed the entirety of the gender.
Yeah, so if you're ever wondering why someone ever called you a guy, it's because some bloke in the 1600s got killed because he tried to block Parliament.
What a story, Tom. Anyway, next up, we've got your tech or law tech.
Dom, I hate you with a passion.
the thing is, guys, right?
Well, he's saying we've got no fashion.
He just did that unprompted.
So
no prompting at all.
So Nathan, are you gonna?
I think you've got one this week that you wanted to do.
I do.
Oh, go on then.
So
as a treat.
As per normal, we're going to be doing our Your Tech or Law Tech. So we're going to do a little bit of trivia. The guys are going to say if they think it is a Your Tech, which is false, or Law Tech, which is a true piece of trivia. This week, we've got some spooky trivia that's recently, potentially recently, come out in the newest Shrapnel in regarding the Black Marauder, and there is a story called The Dark One. I'm not going to go through the whole story, because obviously that would be quite long. And but obviously the latest Shrapnel is talking about the Gothic setting. So in this book, it talks about actually how the Dark One or the Black Marauder comes to be and how it somehow disappears, which might link to how
this
Black Marauder may appear in the actual BattleTech universe. So this may or may not explain where the Black Marauder comes from. It comes from the Gothic setting.
Well, doesn't a Black Marauder come from when a mommy Black Marauder and a daddy Black Marauder love each other very much?
Yes.
Is the implication there? Sorry, is the Your Tech or Law Tech that the Black Marauder from Gothic is the same one in the standard universe?
Yes. What might be happening would be that they talked about some of the splicing. They may have spliced some organic components into a Marauder, and it's may have worked its way into the actual BattleTech timeline.
Everyone that's listening to the podcast right now, I apologise for whatever the hell that just was. I have no idea what he just asked me.
Yeah, no, I'm not following either, to be fair.
So you're telling me that for some reason, shoving like some cow DNA into a big robot makes it be able to travel dimensions?
Yeah.
That's what you just said?
Yes, but I fucked
this cow. It can now time travel.
Effectively, yes. It's potentially in the latest Shrapnel.
What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay, Dom. So there's this one real spooky
Law Tech
story about a Black Marauder and. And pretty much what Lucy's saying is that it's totally, guys, it totally could or cannot be in Shrapnel, and I totally didn't give it away, but Shrapnel's like the official magazine of BattleTech. That's like a bunch of articles and a bunch of short stories in it about what's been happening. I thought Dom was about to go, what's a short story?
I suppose it doesn't make sense to Dom because he doesn't know about the mech, but basically there's a spooky story and it's explained in maybe one of the Shrapnels.
Evangelion, you know when the mechs go kooky, pretty much that's in BattleTech.
Cool.
No one knew where it's from, and then Luz is now saying that if you shove a penguin into a mech, it controls dimensions.
Maybe. Anyway, we don't say Law Tech.
It's a Law Tech.
I think if this is a Your Tech, Lewis has done the most generational run of bamboozling.
No, because what he's going to do is go, actually, the story is called the Spooky Ooky One. So it was a Your Tech, actually, guys.
Okay, so Dom's going Law Tech. Dom's going Law Tech. What are you going, Nathan?
Law Tech.
And Tom?
I think this has to be a Law Tech.
Oh, boys, I've shit my pants again because I've just bamboozled you all. I made that up.
That's the worst one.
What? No. Hold the phone here.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
I hate you. I need you.
That is amazing.
I need you.
I did a whole like.
I don't.
No. I don't believe.
Round of applause. Round of applause, Lewis.
I did the whole psyops because I knew if I'd explained it like that, you'd be like, well, obviously Lewis is giving it away that it's true. And I was like, aha, the fools. They will believe. They believe I am so silly.
I want you to refer to my previous comment on Lewis doing an absolutely generational run of bamboozling us, because
I'm so sad. I thought if you I thought I could inject myself with the DNA of a largemouth bass and get octopus. I guess not. That's why dreams die here.
Largemouth bass.
To be honest, I haven't actually read the latest chapter, so it could be in there.
I.
Yeah, so potentially could be a law tech, but highly unlikely.
Imagine if just you open up the first page and word for word, like not even like written as a coherent story, just word for word, what Lou said is like the first story.
All
the listeners of the Hexperts, I sincerely apologize for whatever the hell that just was.
Yeah, so obviously, as you can see, our brains are quite stretched at the moment. So if you've got any interest in your text or law text for us to talk about in the upcoming episodes, please feel free to send them in. And we can see if we can bamboozle the rest of the guys again. Well,
I refuse. I hate you.
All right, so we're going to catch you guys after a little break. We're back from the break, and I think Tom's brain has been boiled with the bamboozling that I've done to him. But can you carry on, Tom?
What if I said no?
Then I would carry on with the episode.
I'm just interested, Lewis. I'm not going to say no because I have professional pride. But what if I just went, nah, I'm good.
Oh, I just make shit up. People would apparently believe me. Oh!
You're a bastard.
Got him again.
I hate you so much. Well, let's have a look behind the scenes.
Ooh.
Because we have the Necromic Plague. Whoa.
I would not.
It's a word of blight.
I wouldn't name a plague that because.
No, the Necromic Plague.
It would be hard to spell.
Yeah, well. I'm sorry.
I don't think there's many dyslexics in the word of blight.
I give up.
We are the world of Blake. We have come to.
What is the word of Blake?
It's a fucking offshoot from Comstar. So, they're like religious fanatics.
There's this bloke called Blake who started Comstar, and they're pretty much the Mechanicum in 40k. It's like the Omnissiah. He's pretty much the Omnissiah, and the word of Blake are just people who follow everything that he said. Or who's the other guy that founded it?
Him
and this other guy called Toyama said they follow that to the letter. And then they're like, oh, Blake came to me in a dream. We need to kill everyone. But, and then they go about killing everyone.
But he was just a guy who just kept the phones working.
Yeah, that's literally all he did. He was like the last like prime minister of... He's the last politician who's still on Earth after the Amaris coup and everyone fucked off. So then he was like, I'm in charge now. Oh, everyone's going to kill me. I guess I'll make the phones work. And then that's Comstar.
Also, if they were dyslexic, they'd be the Werb of Blake. Blake. the Werb of Dake. Yeah, so the word...
How dyslexic works.
The
Bird of Wake.
The Werb of the Lake.
Okay, if we want to go this way, that's on you guys. Okay, anyway.
So,
maybe let's not.
Okay, but yeah, so the word of Blake is when Comstar fractured, the religious side became the word of Blake and was a bit more hands-on.
Why don't we hold this for when we do
an episode.
Do an episode on Comstar and the word of Blake. I feel like we should probably tease people. There you go. We've edged you a little bit.
Oh.
Come on, collect your edge points.
So the word of Blake's experimental bioweapon was hastily modified to suit Necromo's atmospheric conditions and was designed to sicken the planetary population via airborne vectors and taint the water table, thus infecting the bulk of the surviving food chain. It's a debilitating form of spongiform encephalopathy. I don't know how to say that. It's mad cow disease.
Yeah.
I was joking earlier, but this is literally 28 days later.
That's actually insane.
However, the word scientist erred in their calculations or in their release strategy, inadvertently inflicting their own troops as well. Duh.
Well, no, I don't get. So you're telling me the word of Blake, yeah, they had like that these kind of bioweapons, they've still got their ass handed to them.
Yeah, man. They blew up a lot of stuff.
That's
when we do the episode on the word of Blake, you'll be like, how do they lose? And the answer is because they're idiots.
See you in 3 years when we finally get to there.
Yep. See you next
clans.
Tuesday.
We got the clans to go through first, whatever those are.
The clams.
Clams.
The clams, yeah. Sea crustaceans.
So yeah, so they've just pretty much dropped mad cow disease on everyone and everyone's just gone pure schizo.
Yeah, so airborne exposure. The airborne component afflicts anyone who breathes the planet's atmosphere without at least a filter mask. You have 1d6 hours before you show symptoms. Ooh. At that point, you will experience flu-like symptoms, including vomiting, headache, high fever, and the like. The effects will worsen over time unless the character can be moved into a clean air environment and successfully treated with antibiotics. This is a little bit less cool.
It'd be really bad if they just didn't have filter masks and then everyone just dies. Yes. Everyone just dies as they walk out the dropship's like, well, that's the end.
Eventually, you undergo a seizure and collapse. However, if you eat or drink any infected foods or drinks or via blood contact, such as being pierced by an infected object or bitten by an infected animal or human, it's a lot quicker.
I thought you said pissed then. I was a bit worried about what you were going on.
They just piss on
you. I mean, no one said they don't think you're going to survive it when it's literally, oh yeah, you just exist. Up here's like the rot. The fog is coming, literally. And it's just like, it's insane. Yeah.
It's like, huh?
So you've got 28 days later, you've got Skynet and you've got cyborgs.
Think about it. If you've been doing like this giant like campaign, you've done like multiple story arcs, and it's like, oh yeah, we're going to go to this planet, and then before you even make it back to the dropship, half of you've just collapsed, having a seizure, throwing up, and half of you just dead instantly before you even start the story.
I assume it's supposed to be more of a one shot, or if it's not, it's going to have to be toned down because otherwise everyone's just going to die.
It'd be a funny final session.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once you've had a seizure, it says specifically at that point, hand your character sheet to the GM. unlike Zombies of Lore, the victim is not a reanimated corpse, but is actually suffering from disease-induced madness. It's literally 28 days later. Basically, if you ever watch 28 days later, that's what these zombies are.
Do they have big hogs?
They do.
Tom gets the book. It's at the bottom of the page. You get a big hog.
Big fucking hogs.
Did you know that Aragorn? Did you know Aragorn during the film of Lord of the Rings: Return of the King? Did you know that he kicked the helmet and broke his foot?
Yes.
No
idea. That's crazy.
So you have a seizure, you hand your sheet over, the DM then hands you a sheet that just says big hog on it, and...
Yeah. They do a hog check, and if you've got a big enough hog, you can be a zombie.
Hog check.
That's how this works.
Literally penis inspection day. That's
however, two different types of zombies. The first one are infected Manny Domini. You can infect yourself. Basically, they can still use all of their prosthetic, because they're not zombies, they're just like raging mad. They can still use all of their stuff. And apparently, should they fear that they're not going to win, they're meant to charge at the players and try and self-detonate.
What?
Oh, dear.
It just got, like, suicidal Manny Domini. Yeah, it says, these augmented zombies still carry active suicide charges that would detonate in the event that their vitals flatlined.
Oh, is this like a Manny Domini thing?
Yeah.
Have like, okay. I thought it's just like I had like an epiphany after having the seizure. Like, I'm like, oh my god, suicide vest. It makes sense now.
No, like they become infected with bad cow disease and they start worshipping the Empire of Japan. They're like,
I'm Jerome Blake's top guy. I need to do. Okay, have you got any more information?
I do. The Protomex that were fought in the thingy, they're also infected.
What?
Yeah, the Protomex are infected, but unfortunately, the Manny Domini can't. They can't like do much, so they catch, kill, and attempt to eat anything that they like. Then kill, which means that the Protomex just rip the bodies apart because they can't eat.
So you have infected Manny Domini and infected Protomex. Do you have like Manny Domini that aren't infected inside of infected Protomex?
No. It's the pilots that are infected.
Okay.
They literally just rip them apart. Oh, sorry, I've worked in it. So, okay, and then there's also the AI who has five key directives.
Okay.
This one is destroy all non-friendly forces on Necromo. Defend its command ship and outpost Aberdeen from unfriendly forces. Re-establish contact with its CCAF commanders. Repair its command vessel, and in the event of possible capture, launch the vessel and initiate the base self-destruct.
Oh, that's nice of it.
Yeah, so basically it's... you've got fucking Skynet.
Can't the AI as well take over mechs? Like, even mechs that you're piloting? Yes.
Really? Oh, that's insane.
So, talking of mechs, there are a couple of... example drone mechs.
Huh?
So these are the mechs that the AI has direct control over. So there's a couple of things. So the first one is a Raven. It's based on the Raven 3L.
Okay.
You know that one.
You increase the cockpit weight to 5 tons and drop tag and one heat sink.
Yeah.
And that's how you get a Raven drone. There's this thing called the Vindicator drone, which is the Vindicator 3L, and you increase the cockpit weight as well. You drop all the jump jets in the case, replace the left torso LRM-5 with 2 ER medium lasers and the right torso ammo bin with an additional double heatsink. I actually quite like that.
This is pretty good.
I was about to say, if you could undrone the cockpit, I actually quite like ER medium lasers instead of an LRM-5.
I mean, to be fair, it's at least they didn't just like leave it with a couple of shitters. Like, here's like 4 locusts. Have fun.
Oh, don't worry. This next one's a bit of a shitter. Cataphract uses the Cataphract 3D. You increase the cockpit weight, and then you drop all of the jump jets and add an ER small laser to the left arm. Huh?
What?
What a strange choice. And then the final one is an awesome drone, which basically it's an awesome 9M, but you just drop the Streak SRM2s.
Is that just an awesome with ER PBCs?
2 seconds. Are they
clanny PPCs or normal?
No, it's three regular ER PPCs, a medium pulse laser and a small pulse laser.
Oh, the hell, that's mean. And it's not going to blow up.
I mean, it's going to overheat if you fire all three, but...
Yeah, but it's a scary one. It's not
to be fair, that actually sounds like a good little lance there. And I think it would be cool if someone actually painted it up. Do they have like a specific colour scheme on them?
They're just CCAF green.
They're just Capellan Army. Okay. Capellan Army with no symbols.
Yeah.
Is there any other drones they've got, Tom, or is that it?
That's really it. Any mech that the Capellans could use can be drones, but those are the sample drones
that they...
Oh no! Don't say that. We're gonna see a drone Nova T in a minute.
What? Yes.
I mean, you can't.
It has to travel from the future, but yeah.
But in theory, I think you could bring a Nova. But I think Tom, can the AI take over your mech as well? If you're
I believe
what actually happens when it takes over your mech? Do you have to like take piloting tests to try and shut it out? Can you like stop it by turning your mech off? Like what happens?
Turn the keys. If you turn the keys off, it would be very good because then the zombies would get you. You can't really win.
Yeah, I believe it's something to do. I think basically it's to do with electronic warfare. So you'd have to do ECM stuff. But interestingly enough, apparently these drones are prone to random aggression. To reflect, instead of ignoring mech warrior effects from hit falls, heat, and internal ammo explosions, the drone must make a mech warrior consciousness check as a human pilot and will treat a failed check as a hostile interference effect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Furthermore, in the event of a hostile interference effect from ECM, EM pulse, haywire pods, or failed consciousness check, a drone mech will never attempt to retreat. Instead, it afflicts drone roll. They said an afflicted drone rolls 1d6. On a result of 1, the drone stops dead and takes no further action until the interference stops. On a 2-3, it will continue moving along its last course and speed, charging any unit or structure in its path of travel, but otherwise delivering no attacks. On a 4+, the drone goes berserk, closing with and attacking the nearest active unit on the battlefield, friend or foe, until the interference passes.
Oh dear.
So you can bait them into...
basically, if you do a head hit and it fails its consciousness roll, it'll be like, I'm going mad! Which means technically, if you did 5 head hits and like killed the pilot, but obviously it can't die because it's
a drone.
It's a drone. You would just be like, it's berserk now.
Yeah, so not the best idea to shoot this in the head then, if you're close to it.
And all of the drones are 3-3s.
Ooh, yeah, that's a bit scary. If you're a new pilot.
when you described them as like hunching over and just waddling about, I thought they'd be a bit.
I think
worse
it's because
the
they've got the AI, I think, directing them, I'm guessing, and maybe helping them aim. But it might not be the best at moving. Because obviously the gyros and stuff on the mechs usually work off the human's balance, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fact that there's no balance does make the... Look, there's no kind of human in there makes it difficult. But yeah, that's the chromo nightmare. This is, I think, the only Halloween jokey thing that is actually... canon.
Yeah.
So this actually happened in the BattleTech universe. They accidentally made 28 days later.
I'm hoping the AI didn't get off.
It doesn't say what the canon ending is. So maybe the AI did get off and it's just out there and it caused the Black Marauder to exist.
Oh. Come back around again.
I'm still annoyed about that. Still pissed off.
Yeah, but it's a cool sounding. It's definitely a cool sounding scenario pack. It's like a proper nightmare, though. Every kind of bad thing that could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah, and also like it's one of my favorite things is obviously when you play games, you go into it with some context usually, and normally when you're playing like a horror game, you have the contextual knowledge that it is a horror game.
Yeah.
So you act in a very certain way. My number one thing would be I'd love to run a group through Necromo Nightmare. Like maybe you start the campaign in like July.
Yeah.
And you play normal BattleTech.
Yeah.
Up until October. And then as your like Halloween session, you run through Necromo Nightmare, but you don't tell them what it is.
Yeah.
And so you have, I'd love to see a game where the players don't know that they're playing a horror scenario.
Yeah.
So they're just like,
that'd be cool.
Oh, they're just like, oh, what's going on? Something's weird. It's BattleTech though.
I think it's to do with, I think you kind of touched on it, but it's to do with severing cognitive dissonance effectively, like taking them out of the fact that they are in a horror experience, as you said, Tom, It's a good device. It's why you have like all of these like video games that kind of lean on that idea of how you can sever cognitive distance to put the player in and remove those friction points, which is, I'd be interested in playing that. Maybe.
Because I've seen it where, like, this is sort of a little bit apocryphal, but I saw, you know, when you're online, you read about people's TTRPG games, and apparently, allegedly, I don't know why someone online would. Why would people on the internet lie?
Clout.
But apparently, this person ran some of their friends through an alien RPG,
mm-hmm.
but didn't tell them that it was an alien RPG. But it was funny because they thought it was just like a space exploration game.
Yeah.
And so they did all of the things that you wouldn't do if you knew it was an alien RPG. Yeah. They were like, oh, we're going to split up and try and salvage this ship. Oh, what's this weird thing on the floor? We need to take it back to our ship. So I don't know whether that's real or fake.
Let me put my face in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's real or fake. But apparently it took them until basically one of the players got killed by an alien for them to work out what was going on.
Oh,
yeah.
So I think there's definitely, I think that's probably where the tonal shift in between normal Battletech and Necromo Nightmare might work best.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can definitely use this.
You've ruined it by telling everyone.
And everyone listens to the Hexperts. We're the number one Battletech podcast.
Well, the number one Battletech podcast.
In the UK.
Apart from the other ones.
except for that other one. The Microns.
Yeah, that way we're not upsetting anyone. But yeah, it sounds like a fun thing to kind of be involved in running. But I think even if you knew what was going on, I think it's because the cards are so stacked against you, even if you did everything right, I think the idea is you probably still struggle.
Yeah, so it says literally the scenario pack says on the, I think it says like on the off chance that the players manage to basically win, like on the sort of like highly unlikely off chance that the players actually make it off Necromo, the CCAF still wants to talk to you, and the Maskarovka is probably going to put you in a bunker.
Oh, do you know we're really good for this, or that, which they might do in theory at some point, is if you use this with Aces when it comes out.
Oh, that's. I would 100% do that. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun because that way, the GM, obviously you could just tweak the way the
card. And also, it's literally AI.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe at some point they kind of go back to it and go, let's do this with with the strength.
No, they're not. It's just going to be.
I'd find it so funny that if in Battletech Gothic, like, oh, is it not Nostromo? What's the planet called?
Necromo.
Necromo, that's it. If Necromo is like a pleasure world, like it's a nice literal place. Paradise, it's actually a nice place in Battletech Gothic.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking you could use this scenario pack in Battletech Gothic and mm-hmm. just have it as like
just a generic
that's
world.
Not, yeah, no, it's like not like the horror segment, but like a normal scenario.
A lot of the worlds in the. Like the Gothic universe have been abandoned because they just made that many abominations that like it changed the atmosphere so humans just couldn't live there anymore. So you just got planets full of abominations and you just can't even go there.
I think they've
so said, there you go, yeah. There you go, gang. Lots of things that you can do.
Yeah, I think once we get the Aces stuff coming out, they've said that they're not doing Aces stuff for Gothic, but if we do get Aces stuff for Gothic and Aces coming out, it would be cool to drop in this kind of thematic pack and story onto potentially an Aces kind of choose your own adventure kind of thing. Yes, cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be super cool.
Cool.
And Catalyst, watch this space.
Catalyst, if you do that, you owe us money now.
Or just send me a free copy. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, that's fine. I'm more than happy with that.
Cool.
And not 6 months after everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, the biggest spook of them all.
The biggest freak of them all, timings.
And it was another 6 months. but yes, anyway, that thank you very much for putting us through that, Tom. I am, I have my pants are so soiled.
How terrible to hear.
I've literally raised up a couple of inches off my chair. That's how bad it is.
Oh,
that's the bones, baby.
That's just not cool.
It's not anymore. But yes, super duper. We're gonna catch it, have another break. I'm probably gonna go and change my pants, and then we'll come back with Mech of the Week. So catch you guys on the flip side. And we're back with Mech of the Week. And this week it's a spooky mech. The mech we're looking at is the Ghost. Oh, I've just did my pants again.
Didn't we do the Banshee last week?
Yeah,
this is a different one. It's the Ghost.
It's the Ghost. But the Banshee was pretty on kind of a key. We could have done the Banshee again. More variants of the Banshee. But no, this week we're doing the Ghost. It's so spooky. Well, this mech actually not that spooky. Well, I suppose it's kind of spooky. The Ghost came out in 3077, so actually kind of close to the events of
5 years.
5 years after.
5 years later.
Yeah, it might have been developed by an evil AI. I don't know, but apparently it was developed by the Lyran Commonwealth and a Free Worlds League group. The mech is designed to complement the Griffin. It's a fast little fella with a bunch of stealth and like ECM tech, and he's got a couple of cool guns. Nothing crazy though. They Defiance Industries and Earthworks Industries made a cheaper version that didn't have all the crazy stealth tech, which apparently is a bit cheaper because that was quite expensive to have all that stuff, and also is quite popular with a lot of Merc units.
Really?
Yeah, I've not seen much about it yet. I think it might be a clicky tech mech, but
it is a clicky tech mech, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
but it's got bad news, gang.
It's got some cool stuff though. Nathan, do you want to tell us what I've actually gone through this and made sure that there's nothing from the previous mech inside.
So it's a 50 ton mech.
Yeah,
it's got a medium laser in the right torso. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
Not again. No.
It's got an Eren TX. S2A standard chassis, a Starshield Ultra Tech Stealth
armor,
which you didn't put. He's got two Defiance 1002 light PPCs on each torso, and he's got two Helga series MML3s in each torso, a Blaze Fire Long Shot ER medium laser in the right arm, Beagle Active Probe in the left, General Motors 300XL engine, let it run up to 97 kilometers an hour, which is in real money 9 hexes, which isn't that bad to be fair for 50 tonner.
Yeah.
Or 60 miles per hour. It's got 14 double heat sinks, and cost wise this will set you back 10,360,000 C bills, which is about 1.4 longbows, which is very expensive. However, it will only set you back 1,353 BV, which isn't that bad. And it's 0.8 longbows, which, you know, doesn't really match up, does it? It's got extended torso twist, improved communications, and improved sensors.
Can I ask, are we forever going to be stuck on the longbow?
Nathan literally told me off for not having the longbows per per Banshee on the BV last episode, so I've had to step my game up.
That's the metric that we judge all mechs by.
Yeah,
gang, I'm so guys, and when I say guys, I mean the listeners.
He's calling us the longbows.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
The longbow is the default form in which we judge all things upon.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
Even my car, I judge my car based on the longbow. My car can't fire 40 LRMs a turn.
How many of your cars would you get for one longbow?
An amount, I'd imagine.
Mm, true. Anyway, we can have a look at some of the variants of the Ghost. We're going to start off with the GST 11, which is introduced in 3082. Popular with mercenary commands and is available for purchase by anyone. The key difference is the stealth armor has been removed and replaced with standard armor. All other statistics remain the same. And that runs you 1,244 BV.
I don't know
how I feel about that, to be fair.
It's not worth it. Because like the stealth armor...
The stealth armor is like the only thing that really redeems the original. I mean,
PPCs, I disagree.
Like PPCs is 5 damage each, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you get what?
15 damage
and then 2 MML freeze. It's not really the best, is it?
I think it's for a 50 tonner, it's not a lot of damage, but for the speed it's going, it's not bad.
I'm
just saying that you're not going to be able to run. People think stealth armor is a lot better than it actually is.
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty good.
I don't rate it as much as.
It doesn't take out the ECM, I don't think, and it's still got the Beagle active probe, but obviously it's fine. I think the stealth, I think for that kind of BV though, for like another 100 BV, I'd rather have the stealth armor. I don't know if the standard.
I think it depends whether you, but the stealth armor, you have less. Stealth armor's less pips per
turn. Oh, so you got a bit more armor on this one, I suppose.
Yeah. Standard armor's just a little bit better, and it's cheaper as well. So I'm a Ghost 11 person, personally.
Yeah.
But that's because I am mentally deficient and can't work out how stealth armor works. I turn it on, and then I lose it.
Cool. So,
yep.
The next variant we're going to look at is the GST-50, which was developed in 3087. It replaces the standard weapons with a pair of large pulse lasers, an ER small laser, and a single SRM-6. It's built around an endoskill skeleton. My goodness, spooky. An endoskill spooky scary skeleton. And it uses a Defiance 300 light fusion engine with standard armor and case to protect itself, running you a total of 1,114 BV.
That's a mech. Yeah, that's a mech right there.
That I think is pretty scary, actually, with the speed it's got. And it's got a light fusion, so it's a bit more survivable.
And it's pulse laser, so it's +1 damage and better shooting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Our final production variant of today, is going to be the GST-90, which was introduced in 3133.
It's quite a bit later.
Yes, it removes the SRM-6 from the standard Dark Age Ghost and replaces it with a chainsaw to minimize logistical needs, or potentially to disguise it as an industrial mech. This leaves it with a pair of large pulse lasers as its only weaponry.
That is an interesting.
Who would go for that?
Dom.
Who?
No, Mike.
Mike, yeah, I suppose. Mike.
That's a.
Mike. You can just Evil Dead it up. That's amazing. I would run this mech.
That's the kind of mech.
All day so good.
That's the kind of mech you'd need to take to the planet we just talked about, because I forgot.
Literally. Actually, so you know what? When Aces comes out, I'm going to... Mark me here, listeners. When Aces comes out, I'm going to run a Dark Age of... I'm going to run a Dark Ages industrial mechs versus zombies scenario. Where the players are all in industrial mechs and they've got to fight off the zombie hordes.
He's just got one wrecking ball.
Will zombies have giant hogs?
Yes!
Will the industrial mechs have giant hogs?
Yes!
Talking of giant hogs, this week, because there's not many variants of the Ghosts, I threw in one of the custom variants. But
goodness, we've got the GSTA Ghost Aurora. It debuted in 3144, so this is actually probably the closest we've gotten to modern.
Mm-hmm.
When I say modern, I mean
you don't mean 2025.
No, I mean to where BattleTech is currently sitting at.
Yeah.
So this has, it's Tennessee Valley Arena, piloted by Marie Costa. The most striking piece of technology this machine features is a void signature system, followed by the clan-spec ferrofibrous armor that replaced its original Capellan-style stealth armor and its 11 double heatsinks. In the weapon section, a single MML-9 launcher appears where once there were twin MML-3s, while the mech loses the light PPCs in favor of 3 ER medium lasers and an ER small pulse laser. Missing is the Beagle active probe, replaced with an improved NARC missile beacon used to dispense haywire pods in battle. I'll be honest, I don't know enough about any of those things to make an opinion.
I think
it seems funky.
Yeah, I think that it's as it is, really, I suppose. It's
got... You know when you read something out and then you're like, I don't...
Yeah, I think it's...
I read that out and I'm like, I don't know.
I think the void signature system is like... Was Star League stuff? It's kind of like pre-stealth armor. I think having that is like half stealth armor from what I remember. It might be
at
It might be at this point actual stealth armor, but I think it means that you can.
Is it more that it does the like the phantom mech thing that happens?
I think it
like no, it pretty much does that.
No,
to
it, I don't think
to
it does.
Their mechs.
2 seconds.
Yeah, but, it, but the other weapons it's got the MML9 is obviously very good.
Uh huh.
3 ER medium lasers, can't go wrong with that.
Would you like me to tell you what a void signature system
go for it,
does?
Tom.
Go on.
A mech with this system may not mate to chameleon like polar. Basically, you can't mate anything else. Targeting computers, C3 can't be. Basically, you can't. It uh-huh. shuts you off from everything. While the system is active, a mech with this system generates 10 points of heat more than it usually would. While active, the system's stealth ability depends on how much the mech moves, with greater benefits with less movement. However, while the system is active, all shots fired by the unit suffer reduced accuracy. Life mimetic armor, when it's active, if the mech doesn't move, it's a +3 penalty to hit.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically, the more it moves, the less. Da-da-da-da-da. In addition, conventional infantry are less confused by the void's electric countermeasure, so any hit penalty is -1 if they are conventional infantry. Yeah, basically it's...
If you stand still, you get better armor.
I sometimes use Purifier Adaptive Battle Armor for the World of Plague. And they have something called... They have Mimetic, which is, I think, 210, and this is 321.
Oh, so this is actually pretty good, and it wants to stand still, so it's sitting in some trees and just be annoying.
Well, since some trees drop haywire pods and fire an MML9, it seems.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And yeah, I think for those, I think at those points,
yeah,
pretty good to be honest.
Is it going to be the most fun you've ever had? No.
Is it going to be different though? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're trying to fight an AI and zombies, might be a mech you want to bring.
I don't think so, because it says specifically that conventional infantry don't care.
Is a zombie conventional?
Yeah.
That is true.
You've heard it here, folks. Tom thinks zombies are conventional.
How is that a hot take?
It's a hot take. But yeah, super. So what do we think about the ghost then? I think, to be honest, I'd not heard of the ghost before. I was trying to find a scary...
It's quite a funky little dude. I think I'd probably run him if the model came out at some point.
It's a mech of all time.
I think it's just very... It doesn't have a lot of punch for its weight. It's fine.
You know, like the first, I wasn't like that sold on the first variant, but with the other variants, like I'd even be tempted to say it's like a solid B.
I think the GST-50, I think is
probably like
more,
it's.
I think that's the one. I think with the points it costs, that I think is the one that if you had a choice, would be the one to go for. But I think you can have fun with the. With the standard or the 11.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I think the 90s just for a bit of fun.
Cranking 90s, one might say.
Cool. Super. So we all like the ghost. We don't hate the ghost.
It's fine.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Dom, do you have any closing statements on the ghost?
Ooh, spooky.
Exactly. Perfect. Cool.
Oh, very nice.
So
should we move on to the mailbag?
We can do.
I think that is the next section.
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
so,
then.
So, Nathan, how's your bag feeling?
I don't know. Kind of full.
Kind of full.
It's not full to bursting like last time.
You've got like...
He's had a nice mailbag release
You got three questions in there. So, it's pretty... It's,
no way.
It's not bursting, but it's pretty...
Lewis, I respect your commitment to this bit. I really do.
Well, can we just stop? I need you to calm down.
Bear in mind, this whole time, Tom's just been talking about these zombie hogs.
Yeah, Tom, stop talking about the zombie hogs. Anyway,
this whole time.
Anyway. Nathan, try not to squirm too much. I'm going to reach into the bag and get the first question out.
Jesus Christ.
So, the first question is from House on the Discord, who basically he's embracing the scary, spooky times. He's asking, is there any local ghost stories or weird things that happened for us, like in our county, country, where we live kind of thing? Which I always try to remember if the, what What scary stuff happens? Like, what's our special kind of scary thing?
Someone released a panther on Tikanet Chase.
That is a thing.
That's scary.
The one that happened not long ago, was it the girl with like black eyes or something in the, that was supposed to be one that was local, that was scary.
Oh, I think Coventry exists. I thought you were talking about Madeleine McCann, and I was going to be like, what?
Tom was going, but that's not that, you just linked that yourself. Anyway.
I've got one. It's the ghost of Lady Jane Grey, I believe it is.
Yeah.
A castle near us and has been spotted multiple times on the night shift for the security guards.
On the Hallows Eve.
And apparently there's actually a couple of pictures floating around, but you know, they're absolutely edited.
Do they just happen to be the worst camera quality you've ever seen in your entire life?
No, not necessarily, but it does like zoom. You can't really see where it is on the picture, and I have to zoom into it to actually see what they're trying to point out.
Yeah. There's a weird
like goblin that walks across it, so you know it's totally not AI generated.
I will say the people like the Loch Ness monster's been real quiet since camera quality's improved.
Well,
I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've had considerably less Bigfoot sightings since the iPhone 12 came out.
And
I'm like, I think unfortunately for us, because they are quite funny, the time of poor quality images and people being like, oh, I saw a horrific monster are finished, I think.
Hey, you know what I do when I want to see a horrific monster? I just look outside.
I just look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Yes, anyway. And then Harris goes on to say, can you obviously tell us some scary Battletech horror lore stories, which we already did.
I've already fucking done it, mate.
You did it. Anything to do with Homeris should make your Cameron listeners gulp in terror, which they would.
All right, House, don't lose your head.
Hey! We have saved you from the most terrifying lore possible, which is just any information about Clan Wolf.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying, that.
Cool. Does anyone want to take the next mail? Do you want to reach into Nathan Stack to pull out the next piece? Anyone want to talk through that?
So, the next question is from UAE John. And it is simply, is the Black Marauder actually cool? And I think Dom should answer this one. Dom, what do you think of the Black Marauder?
What do I think of the Black Marauder? I think it was for a different time. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Well, I think the Black Marauder is pretty cool. Any preference, Nathan or Tom?
I think it's a bad name. Like, can we just get this out of the way? I think that's a bad name for a mech. It's like the Guardian of Yellow or something. Like, it's just like...
What do you mean, like, the King in Yellow, Haster?
Or, like, just any kind of name. Like,
Constantine
with a colour in it. It's like being called, like, the Red Man, like, the Red Man, you know, the rapper? He's like being called Red Man. It's like being called Red Man.
Oh, yeah, like the Blue Man Group. It's like that.
Yeah, it's like that. Being called Bonnie Blue.
Oh, no.
For God's sake. How has it got this? I think it's more just trying to... It's just quite descriptive and it's trying not to be too creepy while
I'm a fan of it. I like it. I like some wacky stuff in Battletech every now and then. Shove a cow in that mech.
Yeah, I can't believe it came from the Battletech Gothic universe.
Damn you, Lewis. Oh. Okay, then. Let's go to the next question. Lucy, you want to do this one?
Oh, no, I'll reach back in the sack again. So, from Jay from Facebook has sent the message in. He said it's not Halloween specific, but keen to hear thoughts or discussion on terrain and scale, mainly when playing Hexbase. For instance, there's a lot of STL files on there which would represent multi-story buildings that fit into one hex and are so maybe two or three levels tall when placed against a mech. This versus the commercial buff you can buy from Galeforce 9, for instance, where the buildings are scaled to the mech and takes up multiple hexes and several layers taller. What do you prefer? Do you find it affects gameplay in terms of cover, line of sight, etc.? Obviously, this is talking about, for like hex play, the actual hexes, are they 30 foot across or 50 foot across? So obviously, if you put a building in there, actually the building is... probably too is too big.
I don't know.
If you look at most modern cities and look at skyscrapers, they've got a decent footprint on them, don't they?
I need to say something. We need to move away from the idea that battle mechs on the sides of the hex. They're not battle mechs. Sorry, Jay, you've set me off on a bit of a rant, but this isn't your fault at all. I don't know why Galforce 9 scales all its buildings to the mech size, because it's not map scale. Is correct?
Yeah,
and mechs are really much bigger than they should be, because we want nice models that are like 30 mil tall so we can paint them. Basically, is the long and short of that one.
I think so. When people have actually made the mechs, the actual sizes should be a mech's like a little bit. It's probably a little bit bigger than the an actual battle armor model, when you're shooting and like people are saying, oh, why can't I see that mech? It's like, well, because actually this is for the hex. Actually, this is how big the mech
what,
is.
What
in the
I
hex.
Do like is where some people that I've seen on Facebook, they make their boards and like 3D print them, but they make the hexes like the correct size in comparison to the mech. So it's like, sure, the mech looks really diddy in the hex, but everything's actually the correct scale. And
that's so weird, because on Facebook, all I see is like Andrew Tate videos that you just stop
clicking on them. But even those, Nathan, I think the hexes aren't actually big enough. But yeah, I know personally, I don't, obviously for Galeforce 9 and stuff, the idea is for them is that some people like buildings that are mech scale even on hexes, which I do.
Yeah.
And also obviously it means that they can just be used in Alpha Strike or other games immediately.
Mm-hmm. I would also say if you do want to be correct scaling, I would say you can use, there is actually a proper scale for, there are mechs that are in correct scale and it's called Battle Force.
Yeah.
They're a little bit hard to get hold of, the Iron Wind Metal ones, and they're all old designs. But there are 3D prints out there if you did want to play Battle Force.
Is that where it's kind of like to use the modern game, like Imperialis scale, where you got full lances, you're commanding full lances of mechs.
Yeah. So it works really well for if you're playing a Morris Civil War or that kind of thing, where you've got like you'll have four, like each kind of hex is a lance.
Yeah.
So that's the correct scale for the 6 mil scale buildings, which is why you've got these massive buildings that look out of scale with the mechs. It's because they are, at the end of the day. And I would say, do what you think looks best. And what everyone, I know that's a cop-out answer, but everyone's going to be different. And I think as long as you can agree with the people that you're playing with about what you think looks coolest, you could use, if you really wanted to, you could use paper cups and it wouldn't really affect the game.
Yeah.
Unless the scale was off. The paper cups have to be the correct scale.
Yeah. But I think,
you could put rubber, you literally, like in the UK, there are some like rectangular rubbers. You could put them in a hex and say that's a building and like it just wouldn't.
Yeah. It can confuse people when they're trying to do line of sight with buildings and hills, etc., because obviously the actual scale is different to the mechs and the buildings. But obviously, as Tom's saying, just do what you think's cool. Don't be surprised if sometimes
abstraction.
Yeah,
phrase you're looking for.
Don't be surprised sometimes if the rules don't quite make sense if you're doing mech size buildings on hexes, because the game was initially designed with the mechs actually being a lot smaller than they're pictured, like other games such as Battlefleet Gothic, where actually the ship that you're playing is a tiny speck. It's not actually the size of the ship that you're flying around on the board.
And ships aren't the width of a planet.
Yes. Which is pretty much that. So I personally don't mind either. I actually lean towards having mech scale buildings because I think it looks cool and it's not too much of a different change to do anything using that, really. And a lot of the stuff you can buy is that scale anyway. Tom, obviously you said you'd prefer if things were the right scale.
I know I
I don't really have a preference either way. I'm pro people doing what they can afford and what they want. I think that I don't think that building scale makes that much difference on a game. Obviously, if everything's in the correct scale, it looks cooler.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone could argue that it doesn't. It's like when you have like everyone's got a fully painted list with them.
Yeah, it's like
it just it elevates the experience. But for me, the core experience isn't diminished by not having that.
Yeah, I suppose big one is the dropships as well, because if you use the map scale ones, they're usable. If you had a mech scale dropship, it's bigger than the map.
Yeah, pass on that one. Yeah. Don't know why those decisions were made, but they were. So,
Nathan, have you got an opinion that you would like to close out?
I think the buildings are cool.
Cool.
And I don't really have anything else to say.
Dom, do you have?
No, that's a good opinion.
Do you have a? Do you have any closing statement on BattleTech scale of buildings?
Sure. So I think abstraction is just a point that I'd like to focus on there for any war game, right? Some people really struggle to conceptualize the idea of like a big regiment of guys. Is it 20 guys? Is it a horde of guys that you're using 20 guys as representation, etc.? And I think BattleTech is not unique in the fact that some people struggle with the abstraction side of things, wherein, you know, the mech may appear to be the size of the hex, but in actuality, it slots nicely into the middle of it or around it. And that's why you can get cover, because it's dodging between trees and stuff. And it's obviously not bigger than the trees. There's all these kind of abstraction points in gaming. The most obvious, you know, to people that have played other games other than BattleTech, there's a game by Atomic Master Games called Star Wars Shatterpoint, which has the most severe abstraction you could possibly imagine, where two characters share the same health pool but could move independently and operate separately, which feels very strange and weird. That's the very far end of abstraction. And you have other games which are very much like, I don't know, close to BattleTech in terms of I'm shooting your calf and you've taken calf damage, now your calf's exploded. So it's all to do with abstraction. And people's tolerance usually comes down to just what they're looking for out of that war game. Are they looking for that kind of simulation almost, or are they looking for an abstraction sort of game piece?
Cool.
And you'll find that it varies from case to case.
Cool. I wasn't expecting such a elaborate closing statement there, Dom. But
I was about to say, Dom actually talks about game theory. Dom orders fluent Chinese, shocks locals.
I suppose more than anything, I'm shocked that Dom's still awake.
Hey. If he's just an AI.
Oh, no. He is the planet AI that we were talking about.
Oh, no. Dom's going to kill us.
So, okay. I'm going to reach back in. I can't feel it. I'm feeling around. It's wet, damp, but empty now in the sack. So I think that's it for this week. So I'm guessing, Nathan, are you feeling a bit more relieved now?
Sure, Lewis. Yeah.
Can I? No. I need to take a moment. People that are listeners, I do want your feedback on this one. Do you like this?
Okay. Anyway,
is this what you support us for? Because if it is,
are you entertained?
If it is, I will humour Lewis with his gross innuendos. But just let us know. Let us know whether this is what you support us for. Whether you support us for Nathan's mail sack.
Say it.
Or you want us, or do you want us to get back to brass tacks and actually just
do you want us to sack the sack bit? That's a real question.
Yeah, there you go.
I like the sack. Let me just put I like the sack.
Yeah, I like the sack too.
I do enjoy the sack.
It's just
whether it's smooth or wrinkly.
Oh, okay.
Full of letters.
For some reason. Anyway,
I hate my life.
So it's now time for Nathan to become a tanuki and flap his sack and leave. So thank you for listening to this episode. If you'd like to support or give us some feedback, as Tom has asked, please feel free to do so. Places you can do that are linked in the description of the episode. Please like, favorite, please share, subscribe, ring bells, all those good things. And obviously, the Discord's pretty good if you want to get in touch with us, because it means, and we check that quite regular. The other things we do check, but the Discord's quite easy to keep on top of. What were you going
to
say,
Tom? We do. Oh, I was about to say, please do tell us to stop. I just.
Stop it. Get some help.
I suppose next week we should probably talk about some of these playtest rules, because we haven't really talked about them too much yet. We should probably
actually... Fine. I guess we'll yet again be behind the times.
I guess we'll read the pack.
Whoa! I didn't say I did that.
No, we'll get Dom to do the episode on the latest rules.
I can't believe they did that to auto cannons. Bit of a spoiler there.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next week.